Love, love, love Thanksgiving. It's the only time of the year I get to eat turkey. I'm partial to dark meat and stuffing and cranberry sauce. Can't wait. It's a good time to overeat. Just the one day of the year you can eat a couple of times. You know you overdid Thanksgiving when paramedics bring in the jaws of life to pry you out of the Easy Boy. You receive a sumo wrestler application in your email. Pricking your finger for cholesterol only gives you gravy. A guest quotes a biblical passage from the feeding of the 5,000. That rash on your stomach turns out to be the steering wheel burn. Representatives from the Butterball Hall of Fame called twice. It's also a good time for family to get together on Thanksgiving. How many are thankful for family? Story goes, the day before Thanksgiving, an elderly man in Phoenix called his son in New York and said to him, I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery is enough. We're sick of each other, and so you call your sister in Chicago and tell her. So you got on the phone, and she exploded. She said, like heck, they're getting divorced. I'll take care of this. She called Phoenix immediately and said to her father, you are not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. Do you hear me? So he hung up the phone, turned to his wife and said, okay, honey, kids are coming for Thanksgiving and paying for their flights. We have so much to be thankful for. We really do. I realize, like everybody else, we're heading pell-mell towards a conflict. Things will happen very quickly in the next few years. Christ is returning, we hope, in our lifetime. But we set aside a day of Thanksgiving, and one of the most tumultuous times in our nation, President Abraham Lincoln in 1863 proclaimed the Day of Thanksgiving, and I read, the year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful years and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed, they are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations, order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict, while that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union. Needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the field of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements and the mines as well as iron and coal, as of the precious metals have yielded even more abundantly than theretofore. Excuse me. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield, and the country rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel has devised, nor has any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such a singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perseverance and disobedience, commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, and tranquility and union. In testimony whereof I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed. Even in the middle of one of the worst wars this nation has ever encountered, they turned their eyes towards Almighty God. And we do so this morning. Lord told me during worship that two of you are going to be very thankful that you're here today, because God is going to minister to two people, one very, very succinctly. And so I'm pleased with that. We're in a day where please, thank you, you're welcome, may I. Many of these have slipped away from our culture. Certainly thankfulness is not something that sells newspapers or excites social media. Accusations, hate, and innuendos are here in abundance. To be thankful is more of an anomaly than something we hear continually. To give thanks puts us in a position of humility, an awkward place for some. As I have said, this is the time of the expert generation. Every subject can be found in minutes with facts galore. We no longer have to ask someone and thank them for the information. All we do is get on our devices. The cold, unresponsive internet supplies the answers that are expected. If I were to ask you to begin the list of things that you are thankful for, you would spend some time compiling that list. The mere fact that we are here and breathing is plenty of reason to be thankful. From the time we left home to the great blessing this gathering is to the loved ones we will see in 5 days, we are thankful. For the Christian, thankfulness should be on our lips daily. We should thank God for everything that he supplies. How many know everything in our life is provided for us by our Heavenly Father? In fact, just a couple of popcorn testimonies. What are you thankful for this morning? Come on, somebody.
Health.
6 months of freedom.
Hey. 6 months of freedom. Yes. Thankful for your book. Amen. Carol, I saw your hand go up. A good husband.
Yes.
How many husbands go? Yeah, amen.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Roy. Did I see your hand? Rick, oh, sorry.
That I came today.
Yeah. Thankful that you came today. Yeah. Today's your day, Ricky. Yeah. Praise God. Yes.
Yeah.
Probably the only one in the room.
Oh, no.
Yes.
The cane hanging on the cross.
How many know that's Diane's cane? It's not being used right now. Oh, Mom came to see her for the first time in months. Amen. Yes, back here. Sister. Who's being deployed to Kuwait in how long? Sarah's unit, National Guard, has just been called to active duty. Please keep her in prayer. She'll be going to Kuwait. Church family. Amen. You have your Bibles. Turn into 2 Corinthians for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to talk three brief points with you this morning about thankfulness. First, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. First, we need to abound with thankfulness. To abound in thankfulness. The King James Version uses a word that I'm unfamiliar with. It says to redound with thankfulness. So I looked it up, and it means to exceed a fixed number of measure, to be left over and above a certain number, or measure to be over, to remain, to exist, or be at hand in abundance. To great abundant, to be great abundantly, a thing which comes in abundance or overflows unto one. Something falls to the lot of one in large measure. To redound unto, turn out abundantly for a thing, to abound, to overflow. So you and I are commanded to abound with thankfulness. Now there's something that happens in our relationship with the Lord when we take a stature of thankfulness with Him. We thank Him even before the answer to prayer. How many know the secret is thanking God before we see the manifestation of the prayer? In fact, just in a minute, we'll look at the scripture that says we're to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. How many know sometimes we run into the courts and the gates with a laundry list of things that must happen in our lives?
Yep.
And we can get frustrated. And we live in a country, in a nation, in a world that is less than thankful. Not only are we to be thankful, but we are to overflow with it. Could it be that the blessings of God intends are delayed because of our lack of gratefulness? When is it proper to be thankful? Always. Before or after the blessing? Before. Before the answer to prayer, before the provision or the healing. Psalm 100 verse 4 made mention of it. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Why? Because He is our provider. Thankfulness has a way of spreading throughout our sphere of influence. It abundantly flows out of us. It brings about a positive atmosphere that allows Holy Spirit to move on the sinful heart. People look at us strange when we're happy. Kind of like we looked at somebody that said they liked the snow. It brings about a positive atmosphere that allows the Holy Spirit to move on a sinful heart, magnifying His power and glory, allows Him to appear in the midst of us. He inhabits our praises. I think that's what the Lord meant when He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven." It flows out of a spirit of thankfulness, of thanksgiving. We look past our problems to His abundant grace. 1 Timothy 1:14 says, "And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." Thankfulness should be something we walk in all of the time. We set aside a day, and it's become more about Black Friday than Thursday. If your house is anything like mine, right on November the 1st, the 7 or 8 Christmas songs keep playing over and over and over and over and over. How many know there are only 8 Christmas songs? They were sung by like 10,000 people, and we hear them all for Christmas till January the 15th. But we ought to be saturated with thankfulness. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians, the 4th chapter. Philippians 4, verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So not only are we to abound with thanksgiving, but we're to ask with thanksgiving or thankfulness. Anxiety, it says, be anxious for nothing. Anxiety is everywhere around us, but we are promised peace.
Yes, we are.
Anxiety disorders are the most common mental illnesses in the United States. It affects 40 million adults in the United States, age 18 and older. 18.1% of the population every year are treated for anxiety. According to the economic burden of anxiety disorders, a study commissioned by the ADAA and based on data gathered by the association and published in the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry, anxiety disorders cost the U.S. more than $42 billion a year, almost one-third of the $148 billion total mental health bill for the United States. And there's a reason for that. Anxiety has become a principality in our nation. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians 6, Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Anxiety is a principality and a power here in this nation. Worry and fear. Anxiety is based in fear. Fear of things that never come to pass. There's a couple of people here this morning that are going to be set free this morning from this anxiety. One person in particular that's here this morning goes to sleep fearful and wakes up fearful. Surprised that you woke up. You've not been able to tell anybody about the fear that grips you before you go to sleep. Will I wake up? You have a fear of death. You have a fear of something terrible happening. God wants to deliver you this morning. God wants to deliver you this morning. God has not given us. Jesus said, I have not given you the spirit of fear. It was almost projecting into this time that we live in right now because fear hangs over this nation like a cloud. People are so afraid of something that may never happen. That's what fear is based on. Fear and faith are exactly the same thing, one positive, the other negative. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Fear is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Both, if you concentrate on them, things will come to pass. How many know? When we exercise our faith, things come to pass. If we exercise fear, hundreds of people a year die of psychosomatic illnesses based on fear. Never had the illness, but die of it. It's a real principality. It's a real spirit that we fight. Scripture says, be anxious for nothing. I want to just minister to you this morning. Depression isn't what the church sometimes makes it out to be. I don't want to be flippant and just say to you, you know, just exercise your faith and fear will go. It's an exercise of a daily standing against the fear in Jesus' name. I'm talking to you one as one that dealt with a spirit of fear for many, 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 many years. Preached all over the world and dealt with fear and anxiety and tenseness. And I can tell you it's not easily won, but it can be won. It's speaking the Word of God over and over and over again. Hopefully and prayerfully, not as long as I had to struggle with it. But it was because I believe that more than I believe God's Word. And that's really what it comes down to. It's where our belief system is. And our thankfulness. I begin to thank God for setting me free. And I want to encourage you. Mental illness is not a sin. Come on, somebody. Any kind of a physical ailment, we're all right with. We pray with people and we continue to pray with them. But mental illnesses are shoved over into a corner. Covered up. But I want to tell you that fear and anxiety can cause a mental imbalance. But it's okay. God is the deliverer of our lives. The Bible doesn't provide easy answers. But as we submit to God, and resist the devil, he'll flee. I want you to know that person that I'm talking about this morning. God has victory for you. And it may even be this morning. You've been struggling a long time. Today is your deliverance day. Anxiety and depression don't look how we often think it should. Sometimes we're strong and we're able to hide it. But it's under the surface all the time. God wants to lift that from you. And if you're struggling, you are not alone. The leadership here in the church is here to help you walk through this to victory. There are many here that will walk with you. You are not alone. The application of prayer will alleviate much of the anxiety. It says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And it goes on to say, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. How many got the revelation God is not hard of hearing? Come on, son. And I shout sometimes. Monday I had a little bit of time, so I drove up to St. Joe's, up to Lake Michigan. Walked along the lake, freezing, 30 degrees. And I got along that lake, and I was all by myself, and I just screamed a while. Just kind of prayer. How many have ever screamed prayer? No, it's not that God's hard of hearing. It's just that we want to be emphatic about what we talk to God about, and so we get loud. God is not, his arm is not short, and his ear is not deaf. He knows what we need. By everything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Endurance in prayer, pressing into the answer. We're talking about asking with thankfulness. Pressing into the answer. Don't stop until you get the peace of God that passes all understanding. Do not be afraid or timid to take these things to God continually if you must, until the answer comes. And finally, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, if you'll turn there. Colossians chapter 2. As you therefore, in verse 6, have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Not only are we to ask with thankfulness, we act with thankfulness. How did you receive the Lord? The scripture says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. And I want to ask, how many, when you got saved, Jesus appeared to you in the physical body? Anybody in the room? How did we receive Christ Jesus? By faith. How are we to walk in Him? By faith. Thanking Him. Man, we have so much to be thankful for. If I were preaching this in China or in India or in Pakistan or in Venezuela right now, my words would be spiced with comfort. People that don't know where their next meal is coming from. How many are going to go home and eat something right away? Let me see hands. We're blessed. We're blessed. We have much to be thankful for. May not be exactly what we want to eat. Some of us are saying no to the bad stuff and yes to the good stuff, except for Thursday. Then we can say yes to everything. But we're thankful. We're going home to a home, a roof over our head. Much. We walk in Him. Says, as we've received by faith, we walk by faith. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in Him. We walk in works prepared beforehand. Our life is not a surprise to God, and as we're obedient to Him, we walk in what He already has planned for us. That's much to be thankful for. As I said before, I had a 1 in 20 chance of being born in a free nation. A 1 in 5 chance to be born in a third world nation. How many know that's enough to be thankful for right there? Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you. Well, we're in a free nation. No wonder that people want to get here. It's no wonder that people want to break the law to get here. How many have been in foreign nation? Look at your hands. Look at the hands. How many have been in a third world nation? Look at the hands. I mean, man. First time I went overseas, I went to India, I came home and just touched everything. Couldn't believe how clean everything was. Things I took for granted. Come on, someone. I went to India and got the first shower I got in India. There was a lizard that took a shower with me. It was a 1-inch pipe coming out of the wall. And they told me not to let it get into any of my pores. So I'm like this. I opened my eyes and there's a lizard standing here watching me. We are to walk in good works. Secondly, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 or 17, it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that we should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." We walk, we do not walk or talk or act like this world. We just don't. A lot of the things that we invite into our lives is because we're walking like the world. We can't walk like the world and expect the benefits of serving God. It doesn't work. Don't walk or talk or act like this world. Ephesians 5 verse 2 says, "And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma." A sweet-smelling aroma to who? To those that are being drawn by Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. It's time for the church to stand in love. Church has been pointing the finger and fighting the fight. What fight? What struggle are we fighting? We're to love the world. They're ignorant. They're deaf and dumb. Come on, someone. I don't care how much knowledge they have. I don't care how many PhDs they have. They're dumb. They're ignorant of the ways of the Lord. And so we should pity them and pray for them and love them. Come on, someone. Aren't you glad somebody loved you into the kingdom? Let me see a show of hands of who came to the kingdom because somebody hated you or criticized you. How many came because you were beat over the head with the Bible? Anybody? I want to hear your testimony. No, we got here because somebody loved us into the kingdom. Somebody told us the good news of the gospel. So we're encouraged to walk in thankfulness. Walk in love. Verse 8 of that same chapter in Ephesians 5, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." If you saw a picture of my mother and me, we look exactly the same, except she's a woman, I'm a guy. Our features are exactly the same. I could never say I was adopted. Walk as children of light. Who is the light? Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." We walk as children of light. We walk in thankfulness that we've been chosen to have the Lord God of the universe dwell inside of us. Come on, someone. Don't hide it under a bushel. Walk as children of light. Yeah, nope. And lastly, verse 15 of that same chapter, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Walk circumspectly. What does that mean? Know what you are doing. Get your head out of the clouds. Get your head out of the device. Hear what God is saying. God has a plan for every day for you and I. Throughout the New Testament, we are encouraged to walk in the Spirit. That means to stay with Christ as your guide, your spiritual GPS. Scripture says in the Old Testament, He's like a voice standing behind us. Walk in this way. Walk therein. This is the way. So we walk as thankful people. Not just one day a year when we get to eat turkey and all our favorite food. We walk and think. We exude with thankfulness. It spills out. It's abounding in us. And we'll change our atmosphere. The true marks of revival are people that are thankful. Sustained revival and atmospheric change is people that honor God by being thankful. Revelation 7:12, when John had the vision of heaven, he heard in heaven saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Thanksgiving. What a wonderful time to reissue our commitment to Christ. Lord, I'm going to be thankful. Lord, forgive me for being a complaining person. None of us have anything to complain about. Come on, somebody. We're told God telegraphed his punch. He said, all those that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So if you're going through some things, don't feel alone. We all are. Come on, someone. It goes with the territory. But the thankfulness of the Lord, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I really feel like two people today, you could have sent everybody home. You're dealing with this fear, and it's gripped you. It's had you in its grip. One person in particular has just had it. Said, well, I don't know what to do. I'm always concerned about my health. I'm concerned about if I'll live. I'm concerned about my family. And it's bothered you all this while. God wants to deliver you this morning. If that's you, I want to be honored to pray with you this morning. I want you to slip up your hand if that's you being... You just want to be set free this morning. One more person here. So let's pray right now. Father, we pray for these two folks. We thank you for delivering them this morning from a spirit of fear. God, you've not given them a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Lord, I pray that you would give them the steps they need to take to win over this spirit. We come against this arche, this principality. We tell you have no authority in their lives. Yes. We together, concerted together, command you to get your hands off of them. Yes. In the name of Jesus. The spirit of peace come upon them in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for their deliverance this morning. We thank you already. And Lord, we thank you for all that we have. And we thank you, God, for birthing us during this time. And we thank you, God, for using us as lights to this generation, God. We're full and exuding with thanksgiving. We're spilling over with thanksgiving this morning. God, cause that to be contagious. And Lord, we believe that you can change our very atmosphere around us by that spirit of thankfulness. Lord, I pray for each and every one as they're together with family this week. May they be thankful for all that they have and all that surrounds them. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving.